Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. This is a Thursday Trade Edition podcast, and I have a guest, this subscriber, John. John is joining me to do 10 Dynasty trades for Thursday, so we're going to run down 10 trades. I was telling John before we got on here that we were just going to go straight down the list. However, there's some funky rookie pick trades going on that aren't super interesting, so we're going to pick and choose a little bit here. So, John, thanks for joining me. Here we go. Adam Thielen. Again, these are all going to be super flex. So Adam Thielen and 310, excuse me, Adam Thielen for 310 and a future third. What do you think?
It depends, I guess, if I'm contending or not or leaning toward it, but I kind of like Thielen there. I think he's still going to have some decent production for a year or two. And yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, it seems like we were talking about this. The reason why we're talking is we just done a strategy session for one of your teams. And we were just talking about how like solvable some of the depth issues can be for your team. And this is a good example of it's caused very little. You're talking non-top 100 assets to fix a problem, which is a wide receiver issue. Like I like that pivot quite a lot. I don't love necessarily paying the future pick, but Thielen's enough that you don't necessarily feel like you're speculating. So I'm with you on the Thielen side of that. It probably fixes a bunch of issues for you. All right. Next up here, we've got Travis Etienne and 311 for Aaron Jones and 204. So both moving up the board at the running back position, taking actually a meaningful jump and then pivoting from ETN to Aaron Jones. What's your thoughts?
Oh, this is tough. I still have faith in ETN despite him going out with Lisfranc. I think he had good pedigree, good profile. Although I think Jones is going to have another good year in Green Bay. I don't know. I think 204, you probably get someone interesting there. Man, this is tough. I might take a swing and take the ETN side.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a totally where are you? This is IDP as well, so maybe that might help this a little bit. I just sort of view it as a normal super flex trade. It's interesting because I think the market values ETN more than Jones. I think the market probably undervalues Jones. It's funny because I was underpriced on Jones for a while, and now I'm like, oh, all right, like he's pretty good. You know, he's sort of performed at or above expectation in the past couple of years, and now everyone's fading him. And it's like, it's exactly where I am on David Montgomery. It's like, I haven't really moved a ton, or I've actually moved up on the impression of him, and you guys are all running away. It's an interesting situation. I think Aaron Jones probably has the higher range of outcomes this year, but I think ETN, you know, probably the next maybe 2 or 3 years might have a little bit more of that ceiling. It's an interesting deal because you're also getting that upgrade at 204. I think team direction is going to matter a lot there. I actually like that deal. It's a lot of different ways to think about it. All right, next one here. This one's fun. Jared Goff and Rob Gronkowski for Darius Slayton and Mike Williams. So basically going, and again, this is two PPR for tight end. So you're juiced at tight end and it's super flex. So you're getting both premiums here on the Goff and Gronkowski side with maybe some warts for Mike Williams and Darius Slayton.
That's pretty easy. The Goff and Gronk side for me, I know Gronk, we don't know if he's coming back. I feel like he is, at least for this year. Now we have some Goff skeptics or haters in our chat, but he'll be serviceable. It's a pretty easy one for me.
So I'm on this kick. I have this thing, and I was listening to the PFF podcast, and they were talking about the Lions, and they were like, it was just one of those things where it was kind of like, if it was a cartoon, I came back to it and I was like I did kind of like the reverse, like just stop what I was doing and like back up. But it was like, all right, he's got first round wide receiver, first round tight end, pass catching running back, guy who came in as a rookie and performed really well as a pass catching receiver, two first round tackles on either side of him. He's got another first rounder on the offensive line. When he performed really well for the Rams, he was had a really good offensive line that protected him. And all of a sudden I was like, wait a second. I was like, that sounds actually really like they have all the problems solved, right? Which is you protect him and you supply the weapons. Like this is actually could be a decent situation and they can pay all the people because they're all on rookie deals except Goff. It seems like a cheap way to address quarterback. And that's the way that I looked at this. Like you're trading two wide receivers for the two premiums and you're getting like, how do you fix a quarterback issue? You can take a full measure and pay a ton for an elite guy, or you can sort of take shots like this, which is paying for depth at other positions and taking like two shots that I think are really interesting, both at quarterback and at tight end. So I love the Goff, like you said, I love the Goff Gronkowski angle to this. Quite a bit. All right, here's another one that's might wrangle people in our chat, and I'll actually bring up a player that we were talking about in our prior conversation. 102 and 208 for Antonio Gibson.
Okay. Give me the 102 and 208 side. I think there's not sold on the upside difference making of Gibson with McKissick there, then putting B-Rob in the third round. So yeah, take the pick side and see how you use those or convert them down the line, I think.
Isn't this funny that this is Kenneth Walker? Like, let's just assume Breece Hall goes first. You could take Kenneth Walker and Brian Robinson and be like, all right, one of the things we talked about was, all right, how do you bet against somebody? Well, you can, you know, this is just another one of those versions. Like you can bet against someone by picking their backup. In our case, it was a team building thing, but this is hey, if you're not convinced of Gibson, like you're going to get a shot at Kenneth Walker and you're going to get a shot at the guy that was drafted behind Gibson. Right. So,
yeah,
so I think that's an interesting, it's an interesting way. And basically leveraging your bet. I like that. And again, you're resetting the clock. Kenneth Walker doesn't have the warts. Does he have some of the concerns? Some concerns? Sure. But he doesn't have the warts that a guy like Gibson has accumulated through those parts of his career. So that's interesting. All right, another one straight up here. This one's interesting. Ramondre Stevenson for Michael Gallup.
Oh, man. I'll take the Gallup side here. Ramondre had some interesting flashes as a rookie, but the Belichick backfield and they just brought in two more rookie running backs. You know, so what's the upside there? Whereas Gallup, I don't know. I think that he could have some nice weeks. I think he's had some nice production. So I don't know. Give me Gallup there.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. Stevenson seems more replaceable. And like, if you have concerns or questions about Lamb, which I think I might be the only person that does, which is fine. But if you want to say, hey, what's the upside for Gallup? Conceivably, it's wide receiver one in Dallas. I don't think that's the likeliest outcome for him, but that's probably in his range of outcomes. Is Stevenson ever anything more than like a 1A and like a 55% backfield? And is that replaceable? Like, which one's more replaceable, I would think, with this one? And it seems like you could make any number of running back bets that, again, I like Ramondre Stevenson, but I think just his circumstances, it's a lot tougher to see him making a huge, huge difference, where I think you can with Gallup might even be able to pare down your wide receivers because he's, I think, a pretty rock solid guy for targets this year. So assuming that he's healthy. So I'm sort of with you on that one. All right. Here's one that's interesting. Derrick Henry for 106 straight up.
So 106, I guess that's one of the first round wide receivers there probably. I don't know. Give me Henry. I still think he can still be a difference maker, right? In 106, you're just getting a lottery ticket, right? Maybe you could use that a different way, but I think I'd take the Henry side.
Is this a low key? Yeah, I think I'm with you. My only thought is this a low key way to fix a quarterback issue and take Kenny Pickett? And then instead of, now you've got Pickett and you can include Pickett in a trade instead of, which opens up a different range of outcomes for you over the next 6 months than trading Henry for a running back, Henry for a quarterback. That would be the only thing I would think about being on the other side of this. If I'm going to trade Derrick Henry for 106, I damn well better be taking Kenny Pickett with that pick. right? Like I can't take a wide receiver. I just, right. Because you're trading scarce asset, which is bell cow running back, for completely not scarce asset, which is a first round wide receiver. I just, unless I'm taking Pickett, I think that you have to take the Henry side on this one. And I would take the Henry. I wouldn't be clamor. I wouldn't address quarterback in that way. But I think if you were going to do that, I could be pitched on that idea of that making sense. All right. So we are through, I believe that's six of them. All right, we've got four more here. Let's revisit our friend Jared Goff. Jared Goff for 205.
Okay. So that's, yeah, probably a round three running back there. If I needed quarterback help or QB three or some depth, I'd probably take Goff there.
It's interesting because people, I think, get so enamored with like, hey, I have to fix this depth issue, right? I have to fix. And the more and more we play, like, and the more and more we have access to real data and real trades and stuff, the more some of the narratives about quarterback value, just like, this isn't, you're trading a non-top 100 asset for a quarterback who might not necessarily change the world for you, but solves your quarterback two issue in the near term, right? And it allows you to not be, you know, if you have a quarterback issue, like this is maybe round one of maybe two or three rounds of addressing the position, but this is a really cheap way to go about it. You know, I'm totally with you. I would take the Goff side on this, and I've maybe become an evangelist on Jared Goff in a way that is somewhat surprising. So, but here we are, everything's possible in 2022. All right. Next up here, we've got a whole bunch of confusing ones. We've got, I'll just mention this because I think it's good. We don't necessarily need to discuss it. 2023 first for 112 straight up. So those do exist. All right. A player that, by the way, let's just do another quarterback one while we're here. Matt Ryan for 209.
Ryan, easy.
Right. Like it's not the talk about fixing quarterback, right? You can, if you did both of those, like, all right, you've got it figured out this year. Right. Maybe you can figure out a way to sort of not necessarily make the same this year type bet out of those two guys. Or maybe you get, would you take the over on 2.5 years of them starting, you know, of the next in basically 2022 and 2023, would you take the over on 2.5 of started seasons out of those two guys? Right. Just basically anything next year. I think you probably take the over on that. Is it the over on 3.5 is maybe a little bit questionable. Both those guys have some risk, I think, but this might in some way, shape or form, if you did both of them, probably solve some of those issues for you. And I think that's an interesting one. All right. So that's eight, I believe. Now we've got, how about this one? Trey Sermon and Jameson Crowder. God, this is so painful. For a 2023 third.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I still have a tiny bit of Sermon hope in me, so I might take that side, although maybe that's just my I have too many Sermon shares or hopes from last year still in my mind.
And it's funny because Crowder's probably not a zero in this. Like as painful as it is, I'm like, all right, we're talking about a third round pick versus Trey Sermon. I'm like, yeah, you know, at least you're getting Jameson Crowder a deal. Like, even if I'm wrong, if I'm totally wrong on Sermon, he gets cut. Like at least we haven't totally lost on the Crowder side. I would take the Sermon Crowder side. But let's put it this way. The Crowder inclusion in this deal was a non-zero portion of why I said I would take that side of the deal, which is scary considering where we took them last year, but that is life. All right, let's see here. So that's, we've got one more here. Let me find a good juicy one here. All right. This is a player we actually talked about. By the way, Travis Kelce and Travis Kelce for Brevin Jordan and a 2023 first straight up. That's non-tight end premium. So price check there. All right. Kadarius Toney, 104 and a 2023 second for Christian McCaffrey.
Give me McCaffrey there.
He just doesn't seem that expensive, does he? It's cheap. Yeah. It's cheap.
Because Tony's probably, you don't get a first for him right now, I would bet. So,
right.
Yeah, first in a couple seconds, maybe, for CMC.
Yeah, that is, that's right where I'm, that's kind of right where I'm thinking about. I'll just check the Tony trades here for a second. I can't imagine that he's drawing that, but let's just see. Yeah, it's not a ton of him involved with the picks. Him for 202, 210 and 212 for Tony, and 310 and 312, a couple of seconds for him, like late seconds for him in 306. So yeah, I mean, it's not, maybe like an early second round equivalence. So basically a couple of seconds in 104 for McCaffrey. That seems like a really good, cheap way to make an upside bet, right? If you want to try and make something that, if you're 104 from last year and that's earned and you're like, I had Watson, right? I had some running back injuries or whatever, like things just didn't go right for me, but hey, I want to jumpstart my team. Like that's the type of trade that can really do that. And that's that would be one that in a prior life, I probably wouldn't have made that trade, but in the post rebuilding guide edition of AOD, that's something I'd be much more interested in than I would have at any prior time. So cool. We got through 10 of them. We covered a bunch of different stuff, a lot of rookie pick stuff. We covered some quarterbacks. I think we've fixed a lot of quarterback issues, pivoted. Jared Goff's going to become one of the guiding lights of the AOD 2022 calendar at the present arc of it, it looks like. So John, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. We were already talking. I was like, hey, just want to keep, we'll just keep going. We'll just hit record and keep going. So I'm glad you were able to stay on with me. This was a lot of fun. And so that'll do it for this edition of the 10 Thursday trades. And until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.